last week we got together and we spoke about the union of recognizing Hashkafa. For some reason, it seems like it's ages ago that we got together. I don't know why, but just last week. And I don't remember what we spoke about last week, about these unique experiences that we have during the day.
Yeah.
That we can see that the historical is with us. And I called it like Hashem is smiling at us. And the importance that it has. That we can see, that the Baruch Hashem is with us, because only we know that the implication that we had the thought inside, we were singing the niggun inside, and when the car passes by playing the niggun, only we know the truth that how true it is that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can know what's in our hearts and be responsible for this experience. And there's so much complication that has to go into this experience in order for it to happen, right? So, like you said, what's the meaning of all this? That Hashem, Kaviyacho, puts this together. If you analyze it scientifically, that all the elements that have to be present in order for it to happen, it's mind-boggling. And then what comes out from it is really, nothing practical. So how is it possible that Hashem, Kaviyacho, put this together and then nothing comes out from it? So then we realize that, plenty comes out from it. Hashem is saying, I'm here, I'm with you. What could be more important than that? So that was the thought that we wanted to come up with yesterday. Just a half a second. Maybe I could trouble the oilam if some soft drink is available.
So is it cola or what?
If there's cola.
Coke. Or 7-Up, Coke, 7-Up, or what's the wrong one? Juice, soda, do you have so many drinks in there? I don't know, anything? Or
if you have Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola, RC, or 7-Up, something like that? Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola.
Okay.
I guess with the Diavid, what it called, 7-Up or something like that. And if you don't have that, anything. Did you have any experiences to share?
No, not really. It was a good week, but nothing that really just stood out in my mind that I could relate and say.
Did you have the awareness of it?
At times. The other one you mentioned to us as well, which was to have a board ready for people.
Yeah.
That was much harder. It was much harder to do.
Which one was harder?
Having a board.
Yeah. But,
other than Shabbos and with your family, but just to bring up stuff to people just randomly, I find that difficult to do.
Yeah, but the board that they could prepare should be apropos for people that you have in mind, like in situations. Nothing goes to a person, a kiloni in the street that casually or because you work together or something and start telling them what the kumash is about.
Yeah.
But people that you associate with, that you can imagine that would appreciate it. So, that's something to share.
It's a good screen.
Looks like it was
whatever's in there will die anyway with the phosphoric acid. Nothing could live in Coke anyway, not even yourself.
Yeah, but maybe I can share it with
No, it's okay.
I tell you, I'm not the... I also try to keep away from these things, but sometimes you need it.
I
work at all, I don't know you. There's not enough of love to tell me at the very point. Is the stuff in here so bad, really?
It's once in a while, then.
I had a mentor in university. He drank a case a day.
A case,
a six-pack of Coca-Cola, you know, American-sized can, every single day.
I read somewhere that the person that lived the longest in recent history, like 120 years, they smoked till the age 90, I think. They smoked cigarettes till the age of 90, I think. So I'm saying, as long as people are careful, I guess, I don't know, anything is...
There are other factors.
I'm saying, is that...
You never know.
Actually, like, so there's poison in here. Like, what's the poisonous factor?
It's most well, it's acid and sugar and acid, basically.
Use in Hebrew it's called zarchan. I'm not sure what's in English. Phosphor or something?
Phosphoric acid.
Phosphor acid. So they use to clean, like, they say, I don't know. It's just really very strong, but I think it's.
I mean, anything. Someone, you know, that you take it in different proportions, it can become very, like some of you say, that they used to, you know, to clean out the, once a year they used to clean out the garbage trucks, they used to clean out the garbage.
Oh, yeah?
No, I'm just exaggerating.
Oh, okay.
But, so anytime, the proportions, like, if you take that thing, things we have in our blood, you know, certain acids in our blood, in our body, if you take it at different proportions, so you know, the chemical itself, it doesn't mean that it's dangerous. Just the fact that it's used in for dynamite, rocket ships blowing up, it depends, you know, what the proportions, but they say in the proportions in here, it's not going to...
They say it's not healthy, but they're talking about people that take it on a big note. I think anything taken that's not, you know, it's been around for how many years? I don't know.
I mean, there are a lot of
80 years. I mean, I don't know. It can't be poison. It can't be poison. I mean,
there are a lot of unhealthy people around the world also. You know, so it could be that part of the unhealthiness is not. But anyway,
so somebody died, I think, from taking coal. I heard somebody died from taking coal. They drank, I don't know, a few liters a day, I think. They died from it, I think. That was, water also, person dies from water. If you drink too much water, they also die.
How do they know that he died from the
They sued, I heard they sued some. I don't know, they sued him.
I mean, his teacher, maybe if he had...
Also water. People die from water. Drink too much water. People die from drinking too much water. I think, water poisoning. It's too much water in the body, I think.
How much water do you have to drink every day? Anyway, maybe if he a teacher drank more, so maybe he would still be alive today.
Yeah, I don't know if he's alive now or not. I have to check. I don't know.
Anyway, come here, boy, say.
Yeah, we're right.
Anyway, would you have something you want to share with us at Yaakov? Besides information about
it. I had a little hard time this week, but it hit Shabbos. I felt like before Shabbos, I felt like I wanted to find something. I found the connections, but not like the Rav said.
Power of suggestion.
I found a shkofa pratis, but not like the Rav said. So at Shabbos, the Rav may not agree with me, but at Shabbos, I was looking, Friday night, I was looking for a Dvar Torah, and I happened to hit the Dvar Torah that has to do with it says Nachal Eshkol. So the Yalkut Shimoni writes Nachal Eshkol Hashem Ener Eshkol Mamre. Avram's friends Ener Eshkol Mamre. So they called it Nachal Eshkol, but it's already it was called Nachal Eshkol already before, and that was Hashkacha Pratis that Avram is friends with Nachal Eshkol, and it's called Nachal Eshkol. At the same place as the Meragim had the Eshkol of Anavim. So that's what the Rebbe's looking for the names that are said Eichar. I don't know if it's Yotzi on it, but say it.
Yeah. Who made the connection?
Yalkut Shimoni. I actually have it.
Is this, did you bring it to me? Or
I just to show that that idea, kind of. The yellow part is.
Can you have it?
Yeah.
To make a copy for
yourself? Yeah, I have the safer. I have the safer at home.
Yeah, I
just felt that it was like a perfect. Yeah. It was like a.
Yeah, mom is now really beautiful. Really beautiful.
I wasn't mostly up till then.
All right, look, you have to have the voice of it. The voice of it is that you have to have the antennas up. You know, the conscious of weary of it. I find myself that you have your antennas up. You see it, you know, many times in the day. Before I forget about that, what to you? This is this week's. I send out an email, Shambhas. You don't have to read it now, if you say it. And also, another week before I need to have a second hour. So this of the rabbi that we spoke about, the diseases that a person really thinks into it, understands it, it's a thing that it really is a personal sin to the bunch of it. It could change like a person's whole life, because like during the day you see, you know, the push broke was with you, it's like a personal immediate almost, you know, like if you understand what really is, it's not really exaggeration, but the sophistication and the physics and all the different elements that have to go into a simple little thing is so complicated. You know, you can especially appreciate that thing. That if it isn't really Hashem, and we have to believe it's Hashem, so that means like Hashem is doing all this for me. For what? He just wants to show me that he's here. You know, last week I think he mentioned that. I realized that was the pshat in the previous Kohanim, Yor Hashem Pona Veilecha. They mentioned that. And Rashi says this thing that I thought I made it up. I did make it up, but I thought I was original. And Rashi says that I coined the phrase that Hashem is smiling at you. And that's what Rashi says, the meaning of Yor Hashem Pona Veilecha. Yor Hashem Pona Veilecha. Rashi says, Hashem is smiling at you. But the other day, yes, I put into another nature onto it that really say Yor Hashem Ponav, Hashem is smiling, right? So it says in the Berakos Kohanim, Yor Hashem Ponav Eilecho, to you. So what's it to you? That's this whole book that we're saying that it's not just he's smiling, he's smiling at you. What does that mean to you? Because you understand and only you know the real significance of it, because you know that you were thinking about this thing, and then you were singing this song, and then this car is riding by playing that niggin. It's really to you, because you know, you're part of a lecha, to you, you know, the kick of it is the lecha. to that thing that really is not so important. Say, Rav, Hashem is smiling. One doesn't say smiling at you. So that's the whole thing. The smiling is the chat that we're explaining it now, that Hashem is showing himself in the form of these hashkochas. So then the kick of it is that it's to you, and that's what it says. You are Hashem point of a lecha to you. No? Like it says, Yivrecha Hashem, the Yishmer. Okay. Okay, Rabbi Zay. So, what can I tell you? That it's a big job that we have. But the main job is to integrate it.
That's what I was saying. That I looked over here and see Brichas Kohanim, but I have a safer.
That's it.
You're Zoka. We're going to do that.
Right. What I wanted to speak about today, I would say, a little bit of a delicate issue, and I'm sure that it's no geya, you know, to us also. Now, and I come over here to other groups. It's probably no geya even more, but I believe that's no geya even to us in our modest group here. You know, to a different degree than other. Other chaburas, other groups that we have. You know that we're living in a very difficult time now. Every period has its own nisyonis and tests. You know, what I'm about to say, I'm sure that you know about it even more than I do, but we're living in a period now that you know, we're surrounded by Shilonim, you know, irreligious Jews. And these Jews are pumped with unfortunately, you know, animosity against Torah, against the Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, against the Lomdei Torah, and they're pumped constantly with propaganda, you know, through the media, through the radio. Again, you probably know about this more than I do, but constantly there's fun and you know, animosity and hatred that they're brainwashed with in the newspapers, and sometimes they open up their mouths, sometimes, you know, I'm in a place, you know, standing at a bus stop with one, and you hear what comes out of their mouth, and you know, you can see, you feel the hatred, and it's a rachmanis on them, because they're victims of this terrible propaganda. Sinner, so basically, of course, it has to be fought. How do you fight it? We have to have our gedolim, our leaders, to guide us. But we can fight it on a private way also. We have a tool that we can use to fight it that's very, very effective. And that's by Abba, by smiling at them and you know, showing a certain friendliness is a tremendous tool that cuts through, you know, a lot of this animosity. You have this story, I think, I once told over the story here, maybe no guess, something else, a story that took place in Germany with a German dog, a rabbi, and he used to take a walk early in the morning, and his next door neighbor was a German guy, and the German guy used to meet the top of his garden early in the morning. So the German rub used to get up, you know, go on his walk, and he used to pass the German guy playing with his garden, his flowers. So he used to say good morning to the guy. And the guy, the German guy, used to answer back to the rabbi, in German, good morning, Herr Rabbina. Good morning, Herr Rabbina. And this went on for years, the ceremony. He used to get up and walk and meet the other. The German guy used to, the next thing takes place, the Nazis came in power already, and they killed millions of Jews, literally. And this thing takes place in the camps. They used to have, they call it the whatever they called it. There's a lineup, and the whatever, I forgot the word for it. Anyway, it was a line of, people used to line up in a straight line. At the end of the line, there was this desk, and behind the desk sat a German officer, a very high officer that was known for his viciousness and his hatred for the Jews, and he was a murderer, a killer that was responsible for who knows how many thousands and thousands of Jews that he personally was involved in. And he would sit there with a stick in his hand and ask you to come to the desk. If you go this way, you would live. And the other way, just the opposite. And nobody, there was no criterion, just this. But one thing they knew, if you were an older person, then by the, he would go to the left. So, and this rabbi was on the line, and it was Pushit that he was going to get, the left, because he was an older man, So when he came to his desk, in front of this vicious murderer, this murderer said to him, "Good morning, Herr Rabbina." And he put the stick to the right, and the rabbi lived to tell over the story. Mordigan, Zacht, if you think into it, like what happened here? The point that Shaka was that this murderer that was bloodthirsty and killed everybody, that this good morning was so powerful to him that it overcame his hatred to the Jews. What was it? What was it that the rabbi did? He just said good morning to him, and it was so meaningful to him that in the midst of his vicious murder and killing and hatred for the Jews, the killing, that the morning was able to stand on top of his ideal of killing, What did he have for this rabbi just in the morning? And that meant so much to him that here, in this position that he was in, of murdering and killing, that morning was able to stand on top of that, to see what the power of good morning is, of the shalom. So that's the look of the mindset, which I wanted to suggest that. So this is our Zayda, Avraham Avinu, our old Zayda. That was his, of making Kiddush Hashem and spreading the Ratzon Hashem and trying to inculcate it, to others. That's what Klal Yisrael is, I have so many experiences myself different experiences with these, along the lines of these things that I had with bus drivers and taxi drivers, without philosophizing, but so much care that I had just by saying good morning and smiling. The other day I went into a taxi, and as I do, I said good morning, and I just smiled. The driver says to me, "Can you be most of Israel?" So I said to him, what did you see about me, that you said such a thing, I know I'm a good person, but you don't know, how do you know about me that you said that? He said that, it's shalom, and I don't hear that anymore, it's a unique thing to hear from somebody, shalom, and smile. So everybody said, that's just... So, Ubdullah Maisa, we say, is every day we should try to look for an opportunity, to do this. And I'm not talking about going down, half an American sit with Philin, just to smile and say shalom. Right.
To anybody.
Well,
to anybody.
Strange.
Not religious.
No, specifically to everyday people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we work on sometimes smiling doing this in general, but this one. The purpose is to try to be on our own personal mission of fighting the animosity and hatred that they have for us, in our own way of using the tool of a smile, and greeting. Okay, Rabbi Say?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I might have another paper here.